This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me from our Bismarck studio is Sue Balcom from the Root Cellars Farm outside of Mandan, because it is time for another installment of Main Street Eats. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. There's nothing I like better to do than talk about food.
And especially at this time of year, and, you know, there's only so much that you can convince yourself that the snow is beautiful before you start to think about fruit and wanting to eat it fresh.
And don't
fruit
you
now.
Kind of feel that craving? I have been craving fresh vegetables and fruits. I eat salad almost every day for lunch because it's like all of a sudden my body's like, after Christmas and all the heavy food we eat there, it's like, oh, come on, we got to get something healthy in your gut. And so I happened upon some, like walking around in the stores, you will see such a variety of bizarre and unusual fruits and vegetables anymore.
Well, and in some cases, you'll see them and it's a case of transportation levels have improved, and so we're getting fruits from far from here. But then in some cases, these are ones that we are, like, making, essentially. You call them designer fruits.
Right. They make designer jeans. Why not designer fruits so you can fit in your designer jeans?
But with the designer jeans, we're not breeding two different kinds of jeans together.
That's true. We aren't. There's a lot of hybrid seed out there. And a lot of people are confused about what hybridization is versus genetically modified organisms.
Okay.
So what you're doing when you're breeding something, it would be like, I always use this example with the kids. If you take Mr. Tomato and Mrs. Tomato, and Mrs. Tomato comes from a different part of the country. Let's say she's a black crim, and Mr. Tomato is a Roma. And you marry the two of them, they're going to have another tomato, you know. And so when you're breeding things, it happens naturally out there. Like if you have two or three kinds of squash planted in your garden and your honeybees come along and they get in those flowers, which are very important to the process of hybrid vegetables and fruits, you got to have that flower in there because that's all that reproduces. But if your bee is over here on this plant and gets all covered up with pollen and then goes over to another plant's flower and drops some of that pollen in there, those two species actually mix.
Okay.
And scientists have found a way to control that. It's not easy to control because you never know which is the dominant plant. But they are working on these hybrid fruits and vegetables, and they're always kind of a related family, and they create an offspring, quote unquote, that has qualities taken from both parents. Now, when you're talking about genetically modified organisms, you're talking about taking a fish and a tomato and them getting married at the very level of their DNA. You know, it has to be forced. You can't do it naturally. It has to be done in a lab.
In a lab. I always get the weirdest visuals when I'm interviewing you. So.
Well, but, you know, what it really amounts to. And so I don't usually buy things that are genetically modified because of my personal beliefs about that. But I certainly love these designer fruits. And the latest, the newest one, is this Cosmic Crisp apple that they've been working on in Washington State for a long, long time. Because, as you know, it takes a long time to grow a tree. It was finally released just this year.
So what's it got going for it?
It is actually a really pretty fruit. It is called Cosmic Crisp because it has bright yellow dots on its little red skin. It was developed by Washington State University, so they still have the rights to sell it. But it is kind of a honey crisp crossed with another variety of apple. And so they're supposed to be like extremely tasty. They actually call it a game changer.
Ooh.
And I cannot wait to try it. I'm going to go out
like
and look
the
for
crisp.
It. Oh, I do too. Honey crisp are the best. And you know that it does help, like if you're growing your own apple trees, to have more than one so that your bees can cross-pollinate them, because sometimes that's what it takes for a tree to be healthy. But what they do to promote the right genes or the right parent plant to come out is they actually graft apple trees to a basic, sturdy, hardy apple tree. They'll take the branches from the tree they want to breed, and they'll actually graft those on there. So then the tree is really healthy already, and then they'll get the product that they want out of the deal.
All right, what's a tanger or tangor?
Oh, jeez. It's one of those kind of crazy things between a sweet orange and a mandarin orange. So I would imagine I've never seen one, a little smaller than orange, but it has more vitamin C than a traditional tangerine. Oh, that's what it is. It's a tangerine and an orange, okay. Which I don't know why you'd want to blend those two together in the first place because they're so similar. But they say that they're really tasty. And, you know, it's one of the things I look for when I'm buying fruit is the small ones that I can eat in one sitting so that I don't have to, like, use a knife or throw part of it away. So I like the idea of those little tiny – what are those little tiny oranges called that the kids eat?
It'll come to me as soon as we get off.
Right. Yeah, and then as you're walking around in the store, you're going to see, you know, ugly fruit – UGLI, that they really are ugly and they're big, and I wouldn't even be able to tell you how to eat one. But, you know, if you're adventuresome, you should go out there and try things.
Well, how about the Jostaberry? Am I getting that right?
Jostaberry. Doesn't that sound good?
It does.
Oh, it's a blackberry combination, a blackberry type berry, which is a combination of a currant and a gooseberry. And I love gooseberries. These are big berries. I like blackberries because I can eat like a whole, not a pint, but a whole big bin of blackberries in one sitting. I love them so much. But these kind of also have a little bit of kiwi, blueberry, and grape undertones to them. Mm. And don't ask me how they come up with this stuff. I would imagine that, and this would be a good job to have, being a taste tester for new fruit. Like, whoa, yeah, I really like this. This one tastes a little bit like, and gooseberries are my favorite berry to grow. So,
sounds delicious. Okay, you have another one on here. Rabbage?
Oh,
what is rabbage?
This, I got to look for rabbage, man. I love the word. The rabbage is kind
of fun. It does sound fun. Yeah, I totally want to eat this.
It's a combination of radish and cabbage. And as you know, cabbages are really good for you, but radishes are spicy. And so you've kind of got a spicy lettuce-type leafy green that has the qualities of cabbage in it, too. So I would imagine that you could eat it raw, you could put it in a smoothie, and you could do a little bit of stir fry.
I was going to say, this is going to take your kimchi, like, next level.
Oh, I never even thought of that. Let's go for that microbiome fermentation-type wonderful sauerkraut. Yes, that's absolutely wonderful. You know, one of the things we eat when we're at work, we go to the grocery store, and they have things in a bag, like a salad kit. And one day took it apart and inspected every ingredient in there. And so now I'll go to the store and I'll buy whatever three kinds of cabbage I can find and some romaine lettuce and grind all that stuff up and put it in the fridge, and you can eat it as a salad or you can stir fry it. And so this is definitely going to go on my salad list for sure.
Mm. Another hybrid here, the wineberry.
Oh, doesn't that sound good? But yeah. It doesn't come in a box. You can't pour it out of a box in your refrigerator. But it's similar to a raspberry. It has lots of vitamin C and antioxidants. Good for your liver and heart. And they can be made into jams, like a good raspberry jam, of course. Or you can make wine out of them.
With a wine berry.
Wouldn't that be fun? But yeah, I would definitely tell people to get out there, and if you don't know what to do or how to peel something, there's two avenues you can take. One, talk to your friendly produce manager at your local store. They would be more than happy to instruct you as to how to open up an ugly fruit. You might need a machete, though. I've seen some pretty big ugly fruits.
Sweet.
Or, you know, YouTube has a lot of videos. So every time I buy a pomegranate, I go in and look at the YouTube video that shows you how to cut it so it comes out in sections. And I sure wish that whoever invented the pomegranate would have, like, gone more fruit and less seeds in there.
Those are really good. The areoles, like,
I eat the whole thing.
Yeah, but they are a little hard to get at.
And some people that are getting older in our family don't like the have to chew that much to get something out of their meal. So yes, go out and get some fruit and look for those apples. They're I can't wait to see what they look like, and I can't wait to taste them. An apple a day keeps a doctor away.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Ashley.